All right, and I'm your host for today, Jordan, and we have Kayla and Emily, and today we have an amazing guest. We have Leslie.
Woo! Hi, everybody.
Yeah, if you don't mention the other one, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, and Lolly Larkpop.
Yeah.
I know this is going to be fun already. I know it.
Oh yeah.
And you know, normally, this is going to be audio and all that, so nobody's going to notice me. But I'm going to say bye. I'm just going to shut down my window, and it's just going to be the four of you. So,
all right.
Have a grand time. I'm still here, but I'm not here.
Don't shut down your windows. The windows are wait. The eyes are the windows to your soul. I don't know. There's something deep in there.
Yep.
That's you, Lolly. She always likes to find the layers.
So smart.
Such a philosopher.
Ladies, so I'm in Queens. We started this. Where is everybody coming from right now?
I'm in Maryland.
Maryland.
Oh, wow. You're in Maryland.
Are you in your living room in Maryland?
Yes, I am. I'm technically in like my office, but it's like my office / like exercise room. So it's like my common room.
Oh, is this now, like, are you guys in school? Are you homeschooling? Tell me a little bit. I know you're supposed to be interviewing me, but I didn't get to do the research that you guys did. It's not my fault. It's her fault because I was busy creating. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's Sally. Sorry. So tell me about your podcast.
So our podcast is where we talk to young artists, like aspiring creators.
Wow, you made my morning.
And professional artists like yourself to basically show them that the creative field is, we get told a lot when we're younger that, you can use this as a hobby, like, and how everybody, I want to show them that it's not just a hobby, that you can make it in this creative space. Mm-hmm. That's why we want to bring them hope.
Oh, I love that. Well, I mean, I 100% agree with you. Like, I was starting, for me, you know, I was fortunate enough that my pop, he started like over late in life. Like he had already had kids and everything, and he got an accident and he couldn't do a lot of things that he did before. And his dream late in life with four kids and somebody on the way, decided, you know what? I've always wanted to be an animator for Disney.
Oh, wow.
So my family's from, Tacoma, Washington, except for me, I'm the only California baby. And they came down so my dad could go back to art school with a family.
Oh, wow.
My grandparents lived with us to help raise so my mom could work and all these things. So we were intergenerational family. And like, I was just telling my friend, when my dad graduated, my brother was in high school and his band played in our garage for his party. I was just like, what? But it was so inspiring because, you know, he followed his heart, you know, and because of his dream, I got to be part of that dream, you know, and he was always doing projects, and my grandpa was a retired fireman. So I don't know if this is common with firemen, but he was a green thumb. Like he built our backyard was like a park. I was always making fairy homes and, you know, so I kind of feel like I had a creative permission slip growing up, but also you guys saw how hyper I was.
Me too. Don't worry.
My parents were like, put her outside. But outside was this amazing place that I would be out there for hours and, you know, and I would draw characters and then I would come in and say, oh, I hear this is a good place to eat. My mom's like, sit down, spare and jelly. So I think because my pop believed like what you believe, he just believed, and because he was a teacher, that everybody has this creative destiny or power, whether it's, you know, it's kind of, for me, my whole life has been the Wizard of Oz. You know, I'm obsessed with the Wizard of Oz. So I always like to use that whenever I'm, in fact, I have a show called The Oz and You that I love touring with. And it's about how we are, we're all writing our journeys, right? Oh, wow. And so we get to choose who we are in our story, you know, and in The Wizard of Oz, there's Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow. So that's like, you know, the Tin Man was looking for heart, for love. My dog just came in. Speaking of love, my Toto, unconditional love, courage, wisdom, you know, who are you going to be in your story to help change the narrative of what's going on?
Right?
So are you going to be in the arts or are you going to be in science, you know, and right now we're at the part of the story where the tornado has blown through our lives
yes.
and changed the landscape.
Exactly. It's crazy.
And it's lifted us off to a place where we don't know what's real or not.
I know, right?
We got to make it real.
So for me, like, that kind of happened to me in my own life when my brother, one of my older brothers got his wings early. And that changed the landscape of my family because it was devastating. And so I remember feeling kind of like, wait, I think about what a lot of young people might be feeling now, who they're in a world that they can't control and their landscape has changed. And the only control I have is what comes out of this.
So that's a good starting point because you're holding up a pencil right now. So that's, so for some who don't know you, could you introduce yourself and what you do?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I guess I didn't. I told you. I'm getting so excited to call you guys. Yes, my name is Leslie Carrara Rudolph. I am a storyteller. And to tell the stories, sometimes I use puppets and sometimes I use myself and sometimes I use my voice. So I do lots of different things, but my main job is that I get to play on Sesame Street and I bring the character Abby Cadabby to life. Mm-hmm. I also play the curtain on Elmo the Musical. I don't know why they don't bring it back. I'm fabulous. And I also play this penguin who I absolutely love. My name is Penelope. And lots of different characters on that show.
Nice.
Including a chicken. Just did a chicken the other day.
I remember when I was younger, I remember I was in daycare and I would watch Sesame Street, so that's one of my fondest memories there.
I'm kind of afraid to like interject because like
it's fine. You can
just stop. I'll eat some when I'm eating oatmeal. You guys can interject, and I'll just put in.
this might be like somewhat unrelated, but like I was looking up your career list on Wikipedia, and I found that you had actually done like a few voices for the Webless World of Dr. Seuss, which I had like a VHS tape of growing up. I thought that was really cool.
Wow.
Oh wow. Well, that was one of my first puppet shows in New York. So for your listeners who don't know, a lot of times people will think like, oh, do you just do the voice or do you think, well, for the Muppets in general, unless it's like a specific project, we have to bring the whole character to life. I was in the second season of the Wubulous World. So
you were like for the little cats. Yeah.
Morton the Elephant Bird. and then I was little catty. I kind of like that. That was pretty cool. And a lot of times too, because you play multiple characters or, you know, depending on how many are in the cast, you have to be able to do like whatever voice, you know, that thinks is required. I think, you know what? I use this voice for a goat.
Oh my gosh.
And I had a goatee. It was pretty cool. Awesome. So,
it must be hard. Like, is it sometimes hard to like make up the voices and like use your voice or like sometimes like strenuous?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I always feel like the voice is an instrument that we have and that we can play. And so when I was young, I talked about The Wizard of Oz. I was obsessed with it. And I would like, I'm not going to let Miss Gulch take my tunnel. Here I am. Run, tunnel, run.
Put up your hands all upside a bag of faith.
As coroner, I most confer, I thoroughly examine her. And, you know, I, who rang that bell? Like, I used to act it out. But I also, I love, like, music. I, you know, we, growing up, like, The Wizard of Oz was only on once a year at Thanksgiving. You know, we had limited channels. PBS always played musicals on the weekends, and my grandparents live with us. So my grandma, my granny, she was super shy, but she loved musicals. So when I started doing theater in my community, she paid for all my voice lessons because she was too shy to do it, you know? And so that's when I realized, you know, the voice is an instrument and, you know, you can
go down low.
Well, right now, do you know? Yes, I don't know if you know this character, but let me see if you. First, we must get rid of Kuzco, but how did
Oh my God!
I'll turn him into a flea, a harmless little flea, and then I'll put that flea in a box, and I'll put that box inside of another box, and that box inside of another box, and I'll fill that box to myself. And when it arrives, I'll smash it with a hammer!
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God. So spot on.
That's so
the cool. the goddess of Eartha Kitt brought that character to life. That is one of the, she's such a great villain in The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
And luckily, since she got her wings, I get to voice match her when there's a project.
Wow.
So not a lot of people know that. Oh my gosh, breaking news on your podcast. So I think I have a love. I think what it is when puppeteering is really awesome because you get to animate your own characters and bring them to life. And to do that, you have to not only vocally do it, but then you're always like physically doing like Lolly does. It just pops up and wakes up where if I brought Granny Dot. Oh, God, you are kidding me. I'm still in my bathing suit. Hi, kids.
Hi, Granny Dot.
Hi, Granny Dot.
You look so great. Sorry I didn't make an effort, but I don't have to. I don't know how old I'm. Sometimes I'm 91. Sometimes I'm 89. I'm around because Les loved her grandparents so much. Also, she taught water fitness. It's true. Les takes all the material for me comes from her water fitness ladies.
Thank you.
Which is true. Again, with stories, I'm just obsessed with people and their stories. So seniors. So that's kind of a roundabout. I will say. Do you guys know about Splash and Bubbles?
No.
Okay, it's on PBS and Netflix. The reason I bring that up is that's digital puppetry, so it looks like animation, but it's not. It's puppetry that has this like a thing that's called a Waldo, which for viewers trying to describe this, you stick your hand into like a mechanical glove, but it's not. It's just flat. That is so cool. And all the lip sync matches whatever your character
does.
And I also did Johnny and the Sprites. But having to learn that computer way to do it.
Oh, wow.
It was painful. I cried so hard.
It was awful.
It took so long for me to learn until I realized that all the expressions I was making that I could program was like, I'm animating. Mm-hmm. So since I like to draw, I would program things that I think she would want to do. And then it was like puppeteering animation in real time. So that
you put it in the computer and it does it?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I used to have a thing on my phone that I could do it. I practiced with Hamilton. I remember that night. I must like,
you did that with Hamilton.
Forget that night
awesome.
For the rest of my days. You know, so this is what it feels like to match which with someone to level. What the hell is a catch? It's a feeling, freedom, feeling what? That way. And I used to do all that.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
That is
so incredible. How did you come up with the idea for Lolly Lard Pop?
That's a good idea. Well, before, I came to puppetry late in life. So before, what I would do is like cartoon characters. And then I have like a journal here. I have all different journals. I have just an art journal.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
And I just sometimes I'll get up and I'll just draw a character and then I'll force myself to tell a story about her. Her name's Orange Stare. I don't know. And so like I said, I started with just drawing, and then I then once I got into theater and I saw Carol Burnett, and then I started dressing up like my characters. So then I would physically become them.
I was a character. I do a lot, Madame Velvita. She's doing Moonlight Madness. She's wonderful. You like her. In fact, I made Madame Velvita, although I'm not blue, but Leslie made me blue out of pipe cleaners.
Oh, that is so cool.
That is a tutu on my head.
But is it made out of pipe cleaners?
Yeah, I make pipe cleaners stuff.
Oh. That is insane.
That's so cool.
This is the actual puppet, which is very painful. I don't know why she thought that was a good idea.
Wow.
That is so cool.
Swamp Thing.
Oh, he's so cute.
Wow.
Anyway, so I still made stuff. And I also, I think I told you, and you probably know how hyper I am now at this point, that going through school, because my grandparents were there and everybody was working, everybody had to work. Like, we started working as soon as kids could. It was a labor camp. It wasn't. No, we were just like, if you wanted something and if you wanted something extra, you had to figure out a way to pay for it, because we just didn't have extra for that. And when we did have extra, there was extra kids at the table. You know, my brothers would, if somebody needed, you know, there was always, my dad would bring students home, you know, whoever, we always had people at our table and everybody had a story. So, I left my building. Okay. Oh, so then I started getting, we were always involved in the Parks and Rec department. So we were always plugged into our community. And so I started teaching after school programs. And for that, I started making puppets, and they were just sock puppets, right? I heard that. Sorry. But, or I would make them out of slippers. I make reindeers out of deer phone slippers. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have, we were working with kids. We didn't have the means. There was no videos, you know, we watched the Muppets in real time, right? So there was I just thought of them as characters. I never once thought, who's under that Muppet? And then until you started seeing Jim Henson and people would be on TV and stuff. So then I thought, wow, that's really magical. But I never thought that I could do something like that. So to what you're saying is, I just kept doing what I loved. I kept following my dream. And by the time, you know, I was in high school, I was teaching after school programs. I was working with, you know, hearing stories. So some kids had some pretty hard stories. And then I got involved in Fantasy Form Actors Ensemble, which is, we would go into schools and do musical storytellers. And I was there for like 14 years. And I just thought, oh, this is what I want to be. I want to be like Mary Poppins meets Willy Wonka. I want to be Poppin' Wonk. There's Willy Wonka. I want to be Poppin' Wonk. You know, and so I just thought that I just want to be the ultimate entertainer for kids, San Francisco State. And I have a minor reading disability. I have minor dyslexia, and I switch words around. Words kind of crash in my head sometimes. So reading was really hard for me. Understanding was hard for me. It'd take me 5 hours longer to do homework than most people. So I'm like, I can't be a teacher. I can barely spell, and I'm a horrible reader. I'm going to design my major. And I want to help kids love themselves through the arts. Like, I want to do for kids what my family and my grandparents and did for me, like nurture them and say, you guys are the best storytellers in the world. And no one has your journey. So I designed my major, child development through the arts. And then I still did puppets and told stories. I painted windows for the holidays to help. You know, my folks were really generous. I had to get scholarships. I went to a junior college. people out there thinking that school has to be expensive to be good, just get rid of that right now. First of all, school should be free for everyone. Second of all, like junior, my dad would tell me, just because you're not in school or class doesn't mean you're not learning, yes. You know? And so it's up to you to get what you out of it. So that when I designed my major, it was child development through the arts. So I worked with, it wasn't special ed. It was therapeutic recreation, which is designing programs for kids at risk. Like now they're called drama therapists, or they come up with art for kids that are hospitalized, or kids that are in foster care, you know, social workers and stuff. So I just kind of shoved all that together. And then I was going to be a teacher for kind of special ed, that type of teacher, but I kept getting jobs in the theater. Mm-hmm. And then I was doing so much for kids. And then I was still performing. I did Sweeney Todd. I did Little Shop of Horrors. I did Pump Boys and Dinettes. And then someone said, would you like to do an adult show with your characters? I'm like, I never thought of it. So then I wrote a show called Life in Other People's Shoes, where I had shoes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I would put on the pair of shoes and I'd cartoon the character. And then I'd become that character.
Oh, wow.
And that's really fun.
It was fun. And, you know, I toured. I was in a show called Beach Bike Bell. I just kept taking whatever job that I could because I was just paying bills. But all my jobs were connected to my heart. You know, even when I was waiting tables, if I was your waitress, you don't have food in your mouth while I'm waiting a table on you. Like, oh, my God, you'll be okay. I'd walk around. I'd have a pitcher of water that was regular. And then I had a pitcher of water that had a rubber frog in it. And I'd go, what would you like? Regular or Delta? You know, or I would walk through with a rat puppet. I'm like, how's your meal? And I'm like, this is like, don't walk through a restaurant.
I would go there.
It was Mel's Diner. It was Mel's Diner. I had so many pins that my dress weighed like 40 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
So then, anyway, I toured with that show. I worked at the Walt Disney World. I just worked everywhere. And by the time, I don't even know how it happened, I just kept being me. You know how Michelle Obama has the book called Becoming Michelle?
Yeah.
My book would be Staying Me. Because
love that.
I'm sure you guys know what it's like, especially after my brother died. I couldn't relate to the world because I just had a different, I couldn't relate to people. My life, you know, my life at home changed. They were wonderful, but think about it. You lose a son and it's just hard. And so I just really got into my own work, and I kind of got used to being misunderstood. And now, you know, people get misunderstood because of the way they look, mm-hmm. because of how they dress, where they're from, the color of their skin. I mean, people get misunderstood all the time. And I don't know if that the arts are a form of resilience, I think, because they can't take your creativity and they don't know your truth. Like when Dorothy's looking for home, she's just trying to get back to who she is, you know? And that's why I think Linda says, you've had the power all along.
Yeah.
And she didn't know it. Like, oh, I guess I have the power to make where I am. I mean, you could still get out, but you look at those, the people that have, like, even, I mean, I don't know. So that's kind of mushy, but I ended up doing my show at an HBO workspace. And this was late in life, and someone from the Muppets came and said they were looking for female comedians who can sing in character. And I was like, wow, I've been doing that my whole life, you know?
Go on.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to eat some oatmeal.
Nice. I have a question.
Okay.
So how did it feel getting casted for Sesame Street?
Say that again.
How did it feel getting casted for Sesame Street?
Oh my gosh. Well, remember how I said that I love characters and I would just fall in love with them and how they move and everything? For Sesame Street, which came out when I was young, and And you imagine this hyper kid. It was really hard to get me to sit in front of the TV or sit still. And for when Sesame Street came on, I was like,
I'm glued.
Everything on this show is what it looks like in my head. That's how I think. You know, remember how things would just come in, visions, yeah, and talking. And because words crashed in my head and I struggled learning, Sesame Street was like a permission slip that I wasn't, you know, not that I ever judged myself, because I didn't even know that. Everybody has to learn to judge themselves, which sucks.
But true.
Which I'm putting in my little movie for Lolly, where, you know, she's brought to life by this loving grandmother. And the first time she witnesses anger and hate, it freaks her out. She has no idea what it is. You know,
wow. So
I think for me, when that happened, I felt like all my dreams had come true. Like somebody was reading my journal, or I don't know. I don't even know. When I auditioned for the Muppets, I pick angel cards every day. Oh, let's pick one. And I pick angel cards every day, and I didn't know what to be or feel. And so sometimes I'll pick an angel card just to have a positive word to help guide me. And I picked the adventure card.
Mm.
And it's the angel with a walking stick. And it's just like, just gotta keep going.
Okay, that's somebody, so cool.
Someone
that's
say when.
Fine.
When?
Who said when?
I did.
Okay, this one's yours. Okay, you say when.
When.
Okay, I'm not looking. This one's yours. Okay, your turn.
Okay, when.
This one's yours. Okay.
I'm excited.
I know.
Oh, well, this one just fell out, so I guess this one's mine. mine is compassion.
Ooh. Okay.
Compassion. And that's, they're touching hearts, which is what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
You're touching hearts. Ooh, do you want to know what yours was?
Mine?
Okay, yours was education.
Nice.
Ooh.
Well, oh, which is what you guys are doing right now.
Oh, my God.
Man, that's apt. I love that.
That's late.
Okay. Are you ready, Emily?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Depth. Ooh.
What does it say?
Depth. You know, now that one's really cool because that's the angel and it's standing. It's got goggles. It's ready to go deep. Like, let's find some layers. I'm not interested in what I can see right now. I want to go deeper.
Heck
and
yeah.
I want to bring to light whatever I can't see. Yes. Are you ready, young lady? This is one of my favorite cards.
Ooh.
Integrity. Ooh,
that's a good one. That is, yeah, that's a good one.
I think today's podcast is brought to you by compassion, integrity, depth, and education.
Yes.
I'm going to send that picture to me. Send that picture to Alex.
That is so true.
Are the angel cards like something you use when you're, like, in the creative process somehow? Like, how did you, like?
Good question. I like that. Well, when I was at Disney World, I'll tell you how I got them first. When I was at Disney World, when I first went to Disney World, I thought I was going to be working with kids.
Right.
But they put me in this club called the Adventures Club, which is a 1930s social club. A lot of people would walk in and it looked like the game of Clue. But it was, cool. it was set in the 1930s, 40s. So right during the time of Wizard of Oz. And it was filled with adventurers. I was Samantha Sterling or Mandora adventurous extraordinary. Oh, and then I was Dusty Cabinet. So a maid, a crazy maid, you know, and we had all these, Pamelia Perkins, club president. So we had to play all these different characters and we would switch off and we had designated scenes in these fabulous rooms that had talking masks and we told stories and then, and a lot of improv, but a family came in and, you could tell that they'd been fighting all day and they didn't want to do the same thing. And they were like, and it was for all ages. And my character just started playing with this family and they came back every night for like 10 days. Like they were trying to come together as a family for this vacation. They spent all this money to come down and we just got to be really good friends. And I didn't know anybody in Florida, so I was hanging out with them. And on the she got me these angel cards. She goes, "You've been an angel to us. I'm a social worker.
Oh.
Sometimes when I'm working with kids, I try, there's words that they don't know, like it's in getting them to communicate. I'll pick, or I won't know what to be that day or how to say or how to reach them. So I pick them to help me." And she goes, "I want you to have them." So she gave them to me. And that is a good question. I do sometimes when I feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to be, or so sometimes I'll pick one a day, sometimes I'll pick five.
Yeah.
And then in the creative process, if I'm working on a new show like Moonlight Madness, I will, you know, I always write a mission statement for whatever I'm working on. So, and then I'll keep that, or I'll write quotes for what's important, you know, for the show I don't even know what it is. Alex says, I go, "I don't know. Is it a stage show? It's a screenwriting class." Yeah. It's going to be a movie. You guys want to go fund the Lolly movie?
Yes.
So I have a bunch of different things that have to do with that. And, or if I'm in a scene and I'm stuck, I'll pick an angel card, you know, and then I'll try writing that scene with that word in mind and see where that takes me.
I love that. It's such a great way to do it.
Well, right now we're having Inktober.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm so behind you guys. Ironically, on the night of the debate, the prompt was disgusting. So I was just like, I try for Lolly, which is really hard. I try to say empowering. Lolly's an activist. I call her an arts activist. So people know how I feel. They know I feel strongly about, you know, the LGBTQ community, Black Lives Matter, senior citizens. I mean, and you just follow what Lolly's doing and you know how she's feeling. There's a very, you guys might love this. There's a very famous monologist and her name is Ruth Draper. And she was back in it was before, she used to write these monologues and she would entertain people in her living room. She would go into a character and talk about, I'm a character, Mrs. Guild. I'm on the lavender diet. Gloria's only eating lemons. It's just lemon and hot water. I don't know how she's doing it, but I'm having only food that is lavender. And once a week, for an hour, I drape myself over a giant slab of amethyst. I have to drive to a museum to do this. And a lot of people, I got arrested twice. No, I'm making this up. But I'm just saying she would do these characters and she'd come up with these crazy monologues and people would say, "Oh, well, you want to do an interview?" And she wouldn't take interviews. She goes, "No, if you see the shows that I do, you kind of know how I feel. There's always a take on stuff."
Yeah.
Then, Sonia Manzano told me, who plays Maria on Sesame Street. She also told me whenever you're in front of an audience, you know, I couldn't believe I was nominated for an Emmy, and I was kind of shocked because I felt like, what? I didn't do anything except for what everybody I'm surrounded by doing. I mean, the people I work with are my heroes. So that's a little, you know,
Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. Anyway, to finish the point about Sonia Manzano, she says, every time do you know what you're going to say? If you win, I'm like, well, first of all, I didn't think of it. She goes, you better plan it. Because you have an opportunity to say something that could make a difference.
Exactly.
So the people I work with, oh my gosh, some of the most talented, creative people, I'm in awe of them every day. Not only are they great artists, they're great actors. People say, I don't know if I want to act or puppeteer. I'm like, you better do both or you're not going to go far. You know, it's not one or the other. Yeah. They're visionaries. I keep learning from them. I always feel like I'm new, even though I've been on for 15 years, because every time I pick up a puppet, we're figuring it out. And the cool thing about that is imagine every time you pick something up, the person next to you becomes your scene partner, or the kids at home become your scene partner. So if I were to pick, I have Nigel and Dolores. Okay. So Dolores, you cannot. Okay. So I have my cat puppet. This cat that is obsessed with trying to hypnotize you. She's not a hypnotist. And then Nigel is just like, I'm not going to say anything. So when you're performing, we're performing together, but we're performing above our heads. So like if I'm like, you saw me leave the frame earlier when Lolly was on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little embarrassed. I don't have anything on. I can't be a puppet. Oh, wait, this is her. Okay, there. That's a little better. Oh, now I can see. So you're using, you're collaborating. When you're on stage, you're already collaborating as characters, but you can see each other. Imagine looking down. We look down at a monitor so we can see what's happening above our head. So not only are we're having to connect visually, physically, emotionally, we're right next to each other. You know, we're here, you know, we're also playing the space forward and backward, and we're literally creating a scene together.
Sounds so difficult.
It's insanely difficult. So plus you're right next to each other. So you better like the person, you better have showered. And, you know, I'm an energy person. It's just like, have you ever been in a room where somebody has negative energy or is like, so I somebody told me I'm an empath where I just pick up on people's energy, which is maybe why I can never stop moving. Like I'm always moving and I'm always trying to find the light.
Yeah.
And if I can't find the light, then I have to bring the light. Because I can't survive. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Exactly.
So on Sesame Street, the people that are there have to be connected to love and joy. And their intention has to be for the kids at home. So you're surrounded by these people that you're in awe of. And you get to play with them. So yeah. I don't know if that helps. And if you want to ask specifically about people, I can tell you my best.
Well, I just wanted to ask a quick question, actually, just real quick. What was the name of the woman who you mentioned who was a writer and a speaker in the 30s?
Ruth Draper.
Ruth Draper, okay.
And you know what? She has, like, because I got a CD, but you could they're probably already online. And I think it's called the Ruth Draper Monologues.
Okay.
And it's awesome, too, because I learned a lot from her as a vocal performer.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, too, anybody who goes into voiceover stuff, I also often tell the females that they should listen to male characters, because when you do it like, Barney Five, you know, went up the mountain pilot, you know, hey, Andy, you know, I'm there. Yeah, I realize, like, oh, that's a good character, you know? And I'm like, sometimes you just find a vocal quirk or something weird that you can put in. Like, Abby has a little bit of Barney Fife in her.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a vocal caricature. You have to, like, find those little things to, like, really put emphasis on.
Yeah, and you have to have, since it's your word, the depth. Because I think that you can, and, you know, when you guys go to, when you see theater or performances, do you ever, like, sometimes I'll see someone and they'll do a technically beautiful performance. Like, gosh, what a gorgeous voice. Boy, that was well executed. But then you can tell, but then there's somebody who's maybe their voice isn't as crystal clear, or you know what I mean? But you can feel the passion in their performance and you're like,
oh, yeah.
I can't wait for that character to come back on. Yep. I know they're on only for like 4 minutes, but the minute they come back on, I'm like,
yeah.
Are you all artists and writers and performers? What do you do?
I at the moment have no idea yet, but I'm still figuring it out.
Well, let me ask you, what do you love to do?
I love to do creative writing and create stories.
You're a storyteller. You already do it. You just have to figure out at what capacity you can share it in.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'll come to you. What about you?
I'm the same. I'm a creative writer as well. I also like to write stories, so there you go.
I love it. I'm just learning. This screenwriting class that I'm taking, you guys, I'm learning so much. Like, I write just little short stories, so usually it's pretty. But this was like, okay, there's these 7 points. I'm like, what do you mean 7 points? What do you mean the hero's journey? I don't know what that is. You know, and so a structure. What about you? What do you do, Em?
I'm actually an artist. I like to draw and sketch and doodle. And at the insistence of Mr. Simmons, I'm a little embarrassed to be saying this, but I'm actually working on like a thumbnail for the podcast that includes a caricature of both you and your two primary characters, Abby and Lolly.
It looks. I can't wait to see it. I do Fan Art Friday. I've got a bunch here. Like, I put them all different ages. Wow. Like, I got somebody did.
It's so cute. Oh,
some of them are
like pop art.
Yeah, like this one cracks me up. This, my friend Smig, you can see Lolly with all that candy in her mouth. And you know, I have a new friend. His name is Terry Bloss. And he wrote this thing called Murder at Fat Camp. But I can't remember.
What?
Yeah, it's hilarious. But, oh gosh, I'm going to cry if I can't find it. He did this sketch of Lolly, which is hilarious. You know, so I think that's always an honor when someone draws you or your characters. I'm like, oh my God, I never even.
She's not an easy character to render. She's very unique. Lolly. I had like a little bit of difficulty with her, but you know, it's like trying to recreate the Mona Lisa. It can't be done.
Well, would you like me to model for you?
Wait, let me grab my sketch pad. Hold on.
Okay. Would anyone like some? Ask me some questions. Leslie's kind of, you know, aren't you done? No, sorry.
We only have about 10 minutes left, unfortunately. So we can kind of ask questions, though.
Fast fire questions, go.
not really a question, but a comment. I was like watching a lot of your videos for as like background music while I worked on this, and one of them was like the little Milano song you did, and I just thought that was really funny. I shared that with my friends. They loved it.
I am so glad. I have one right here. That video was my husband's idea. So my husband found that song. It made him laugh. He's like, I think Lolly needs to cover this song with actual Milano cookies. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, if you make these Milano cookies, I'll rearrange that song and we'll do it. And I'm like, okay, I've never done a Lolly film. So these were originally paper mache.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it's just like, and they were on the original one, which is probably falling apart. Let's see if I can find one. I know you only have 10 minutes left. I can't find it, but the original one I just did on a ruler. Hey, la 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 la. So my husband is doing all the background vocals, and then I invited, like, there's some very famous puppeteers in them in my living room, which is this small. But right now we're doing a series called Weird Wednesday. because I wanted just to do kind of like you did, was to have like a show that I invite my cool friends on and they tell me something weird that they do or collect. And when you give them that premise, they end up telling you really interesting stories. So you're all invited to Lolly's birthday party. I think Alex sent you guys my newsletter, and you just... there's a part where it says sign up for Lolly's birthday party, and I think you just click on it. It's just a Zoom, you know, but
I'm very
going to show videos of my friends saying happy birthday to Lolly. I think I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I have a friend in California who's going to surprise me with something, but so I don't know.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I have a question for Lolly.
Oh, yeah, Lolly. Don't take me off.
I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
So, Lolly, I see you really, really like candy.
Candy is my life.
What's your favorite candy?
Red. My favorite kind of sugar is red. R-E-D. My favorite kind of sugar is red. R-E-D. And if I had my way, I would eat this every day. Red, red lollies. Licorice and tamales. Rocket Pops. Raspberry drops. Cinnamon bear with fruit wrap hair. Strawberry jello must be raw. Watermelon taffy in my jar. Fire sticks for red hot licks is how I get my sugar kicks. Woo!
Yeah. Wow, Lolly's a rapper.
That was great.
I think that might be my next. It started as a patty cake song, but now I think I'm going to wrap it out.
Yeah, please do.
That was great.
Lolly the rapper, yes. I would
get it? Rapper? Like candy rapper?
Yeah, candy rapper.
Okay, you help name it. We'll just call it Lolly the candy rapper.
Yeah, I love that.
That's great.
Can't find out a name for my movie yet. I'm just writing this movie because it's fun and it's kind of a love letter to my mom. You know, my show, Wake Up, You're Weird, was a love letter to my dad for all the art skills he gave me. And my mom is, it's a love letter for all the heart skills she gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my dream. Just so you know, you guys could be part of this. My dream is to have a club called Heart Skills, H-E-A-R-T. And I haven't been able to do it because there's so much going on. H-E-A-R-T, Humanity, Education, Arts, Resource, and Truth. And it's using those five letters and those five words to do service learning projects. So if we got together and then there was, you know, we wanted, you know, humanity, wanted to find a humanity in a situation and how to educate ourselves about that situation. And then we had to figure out what art form would shine a light on that situation. Then we had to pull our resources. Mostly we don't have any money or anything. So what can we use? And then, and to make sure it's the truth. Yeah. And so, you know, it could be anything. We used that principle to get my friend Becky Ray a kidney.
Oh yeah, you should see my. I don't know if you saw that video. A lot of people don't know that it's a Becky Ray's kidney. But we did a
really weird. I don't even know what it was. It was like a call to action type of educational video to try to get my friend a kidney, and it worked.
Oh. And that's so sweet.
That's phenomenal.
Wow.
That's amazing. Honestly.
That's what I love about the art community. Everyone comes together, and it's so accepting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is like just such an extended family. It's like the ultimate extended family, just this community of people who just like live to create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you know that. I always say the arts are how we collaborate with our spirits, you know, and I just think that's what I think what is so important. Like, I mean, some people, I guess, once they know what they want to do, they follow a career path and they do blah, blah, blah. But I know it sounds corny to follow your heart, but one of the things, the way I write heart is H-E in lowercase and art in big cases.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So
do you have any last thoughts for our viewers?
Golly. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for, I think, Lolly, you want to, yeah. I just want to say thank you for coming up with this podcast for you three, our future, you know, and for wanting to take on and be a leader and fight for people to be able to share their voices and to lift what we're going through, you know, because it is a balance. And so I really don't have anything to say except for thank you for inviting me to come and talk with you. And I hope you know you're on the Lolly Trolley.
Yay.
You know, and we can start our Heart Skills Club together, you know, because that's basically what it is.
Yeah, it is.
So that's about it. And then I guess you'll know where to find us. I mean,
I'm on Instagram under Lolly Lollipop.
Okay, that's great. I'm not that great at the social media. I'm trying to get better. At least on my website, Lolly's World has like where you can sign up for our mailing list somewhere. And Yeah. My friend helped me with that website. I mean, thank goodness for people who help me, because I would.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Honestly,
thank you for coming.
So much energy and inspiration.
I can't believe it. You want to hear? I was up till 4 a.m. last night.
No way.
Yes, I had a homework assignment that was due on Thursday, right? In California.
Wow.
Okay.
And I figured, oh, I have extra hours. But then I got a little upset tummy last night. So I didn't turn in my homework till 4 o'clock New York time. And I'm like, well, that's 1 o'clock their time. I was late by 1 hour. Oh. Well, so this morning I was like, oh no, I hope I made sense today.
Oh. You can deal with it.
It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you for this. This has been like such a delight and an honor. Like, you know, like listening to you and like watching like how energetic you are. Like, you say that you're very like drawn to the light. You like watching you has been like watching like this beautiful golden butterfly just like zipping around. It's been so much fun.
Don't you make me cry? Well, listen, this doesn't have to end. The podcast has to end, but I'm always here. I could talk about the arts forever. If you have a project, if you want to work something out, or if you want a different point of view, or you want me to read something you've written, you know, it'll take me a while. I have to proofread it first. I told you about my dyslexia. It's no fun. I've been doing a lot of like voiceover recording, and I'm like, please send me the scripts ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I can read through it, because when it's a cold reading, it is terrifying for me. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Do you want to take my picture?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Someone take a screenshot. I'm going to see.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me see if I can do one. And you, Alex will send me the name of the podcast so I can I put it on Lolly's page?
Of course.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
There.
Yay.
And I already took a picture of our angel cards.
Yes.
Nice.
Is Alex still there?
Yes, he is. He's in the chat. He's live.
Come on back, Alex.
Oh, all right. All right.
We're done blabbing.
I'm back. I'm back. Here I am.
It's just such you a- better listen. I'm working on this surprise birthday party for me. And I, Lolly, well, I am. And I want a really good happy birthday. You can say it if you want. And the ladies can say one too. But I want something special there, Alex.
Of course you do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a surprise, right? I'm sure.
Well, I have to be surprised by something.
This is true. Well, I'll do the best I can. Thank you very much.
Red Newman sent her a happy birthday that I'm freaking out about. It's pretty good. So.
Well, you'll have to share that in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, I'm going to let the lady say, you know, their goodbyes to you and everything, because it's their show. I'm the engineer here.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun. Probably a lot of fun. This really brightened up my day.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's our job. Our job is to spread joy.
Yep.
You do it very well.
You're doing
well.
Great, Lolly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I do as good as I can. It's hard when she's tired like this. You finally washed me the other night. I'm still filthy.
I'm sorry. I did finally watch her.
All right. Bye, audience.
Bye, audience.
Somebody help me.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you for listening, everyone. I had so
Thank
much
you for listening.
Bye, guys.